Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome one and all to another edition of Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson and I am extremely happy to have your company. And a humongous thanks, of course, to Joe and Mark for the Escape Pod. They will be back at the same time next week, so make sure you tune in. We have got a bit of a bumper show for you today. It's a big day around the country, as we all know, and I can't do it alone, so I have the lovely Dan Gardner here with me.
Oh, wow. That was quite an introduction. Well, I like the pause. That's what I thought. Made me feel a little bit more important than I am.
You are very important.
Well, at least for the next hour anyway.
Exactly. Then the rest of the week. Again.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. I drift back to normaldom again.
You are a superstar while you're here, though. So we've got a lot to get through. And look, it's a big day in Australia, Dan, let's be honest.
It is. It is.
It's all happening.
Particularly special for me, Timbo, because this is my first election. Election. Since becoming an Australian citizen.
Congratulations.
And so, yes, I actually did my bit. I did my thing for Australia today, and I feel very integrated as a result.
Was it fun, like, do you have fond memories of doing it back home in England?
Do you mean voting?
Yeah.
Yes. Not so much. Oh. Not so much. Like, I mean, I did my bit. It's not compulsory in the UK. So a lot of people, I always did vote, but a lot of people don't. And so there's not that sort of same sense of, you know, everyone coming together and having to do it, whether people like to or not. There's a sense that the entire nation has come together. Whereas in the UK, there's less of that because some people just say, well, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, no, so it certainly felt a little bit more special for me, not just because it's my first, but because it's a far more involving process in Australia.
Yeah. It's actually a really exciting day, regardless of the outcome that may occur later. It's just an exciting day. You go to your polling booth, there's heaps of people, lots of people are excited about it. It was a beautiful morning.
Yeah.
So,
it was really exciting. I actually, I was really peckish this morning, so I had I did a sausage review.
A sausage review?
I did, yeah.
I see.
I sampled various different sausages.
And how did you go?
And I rated them. The best score I gave was 8 out of 10. And that was in the Isaacs region, and that was an excellent. It was good. You know, my criteria were size, how well cooked.
Yep.
There's no innuendo there, Tim.
No, I know.
Amount of onions, crucial. Can go too much. Can go too little. Range of sauces on offer, and the freshness of the bread.
Okay. But the winner was. Or are you allowed to say the winner, or is that reserved for your Monday morning drop?
I will. I'm afraid I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to make you wait on that one.
God.
Yes.
God. Okay. Well, we'll have to tune in to the Weekender Extender, 6:30 a.m. Monday.
Thank you very much.
With the lovely Hannah and Dan.
Yes. Listen in to our election special.
Will it be an election special?
I think so. Yeah. We're going to cover. We're going to get No, I'm not going to. Give away any of the secrets.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
We'll keep it on the down low. Well, we are here. It is election day, but we are here to talk about cars. And we are going to do a bit of a poll ourselves. We're going to get you voting out there if you are listening, unless you are still standing in line at a polling booth, which hopefully if you are, you're listening on the Joy app while you're doing that. But we want to get your votes on a few things a little bit later on. But before that, we're just going to get straight to the news of the week. It's been quite a big week in motoring. It's leading up to the Frankfurt Motor Show, which is actually next week. The lovely Mike Costello, our colleague and friend, is over there. Well, he's on a plane right now on the way there. So next week he will be giving us all the gossip about what happened on the showroom floor. And it gets sexy in Germany. It gets frisky.
It does. And it's the biggest motor show in the world.
It is. Apparently, floor space-wise as well, it's just bonkers inside.
I know. I'd love to go. Love to see it. But we'll enjoy it vicariously through Mike when he returns.
Absolutely. So, but we'll hear about what we can expect a little bit later on. But before that, there's a few non-Frankfurt-related news items. Now, What do you think of Honda's current designs at the moment, Dan?
They are moving in the right direction. I'm not entirely certain we're there yet. They're still a little bit little bland, perhaps, I think it's fair to say. But, you know, they're not offensive.
Okay.
And, you know, I think Honda have been that way for a little while.
Yeah, it's certainly not the heyday of the kind of 80s, 90s.
No.
Yeah. Well, they have announced a new design language, which is, you know, how they style their cars from here on in. The whole corporate face thing changes. That all becomes the one thing, as we know. Now, the name of their design language is Exciting H Design, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. That's actual name.
You're joking.
I am not. The exclamation marks have some kind of meaning.
Hang on. Exciting, what was it? Exciting H.
Exciting H, which I'm assuming stands for Honda.
Right.
I can't be sure, but I'm just assuming. Exciting H Design. They've previewed it on the upcoming Fit, which we call here the, what is it called? The little Jazz.
Yeah,
how
sorry.
How could I
forget
such a gay name? Yeah, so the Exciting H Design, look, it's pretty ridiculous, but basically what they're saying is that it's part of a transformation. Future models will have a dramatic surfaces, an athlete form. So I'm assuming they'll look like a runner. I don't know.
Why? It's...
And a solid wing face grille.
What? That none of that makes any sense at all.
Well,
what is a solid wing face? Seriously.
It's when a bird smacks you in the head when it flies right into your face.
Talk to the wing because the beak isn't listening or I don't know.
A little bit. But the Honda says the three exclamation marks represent the three pillars of the styling language. High tech, high tension, high touch.
Again, nothing making sense.
Nothing, not a bit.
It's like they are translating directly from Japanese.
Yeah, possibly.
And it's just not coming across in translation.
It's not at all, but look.
It's one of those examples of where if you have to, you know, like if you've ever met someone and they say, oh, you know, I've got such a wacky sense of humour, that probably means they haven't.
They're
dull.
You
know, some people say I'm a bit mad, you know, I'm a bit mad. If people say that, it means you're really boring.
Yep.
This is one of these examples where if they have to call it Exciting H Design, it's not going to
There's
be.
A big chance of that, isn't there? Let's
yes.
be honest. But as long as the word's in there, people might think it will be, foolishly it seems. So.
Well.
But look, we'll see it in the next few years. We'll see it on the next Jazz. Let's keep our eyes on whether it will be exciting.
This is the same company who came up with their new brand of efficient engines was called Earth Dreams.
Yeah, it's not very original.
They're not
it?
Good at naming stuff,
not.
Dear Honda people.
Well, Jazz. There you go.
Yeah.
Or Fit. Come on, guys. Get with the program.
Oh, dear.
And some other exciting news coming out of France, I believe, Dan.
Yes. Sorry, did I have that horrid look of like rabbit in the headlights? Like, I have no idea what Tim's talking about. No, you're absolutely right. The Renault Twingo is a very, very cute little car. I remember when the first one came out years ago, I was still in the UK at the time, and everyone said, please, please, please let the Twingo come to the UK because it's fabulous. It's a cute little hatch. Nothing else quite styled like it. And we are looking at the new Twingo. There's some spy shots have been leaked. I like that term.
You do, don't you, creep?
There's not they're not revealing an awful lot because it's dressed up in that sort of funny black and white spirally costume in the camouflage. But you get a good idea of the overall shape of it without much detail. Mm. And it's going to look... Do you remember we've talked before about the Renault Twin Run?
Oh, the little concept that was... had some kind of bonkers engine in it, didn't it?
It did. It had the V6 from the Renault Megane trophy.
Wowza.
Yeah. So it's a mid-mounted V6, rear-wheel drive, stripped-out space frame, steel tube. It's a racing car for the
tiny,
race.
Tiny, tiny, tiny
yeah.
little
but the
hatch.
The likelihood of us getting a mid-engined Renault, again, we've had one before, actually twice before, but the likelihood of the new Twingo being mid-engined is fairly low, but... Styling-wise, we think it's actually quite close to that Twin Run that was out. So these camouflage spy shots that have leaked do actually resemble the Twin Run, which was debuted in Monaco.
And was a striking little thing. And obviously, it's not going to have all of the sporty features of that and
look,
those
probably
design
not.
Bits. But,
probably not. But as we saw with the Clio years ago, they launched the standard Clio, which had an engine at the front and drove the front wheels. They then completely lost their minds, and they made the Renault Clio V6, which was a mid-engined rear V6 and rear-wheel drive.
Which has developed some kind of cult status, I believe.
It has, because it was, well, it's the reason it's got a cult status is because if anyone owned one and was still alive, then you had you had an enormous respect for them, because it was possibly one of the hardest cars to keep on the road.
Yeah.
Anyway, that doesn't stop it being a great car. That just means most drivers are stupid.
Rant number one from Dan.
Sorry. No, it's only a matter of time.
It's true. Well, look, sticking with France, this week there has been a couple of new models released in this country, and one that I'm really excited about and I cannot wait to get behind the wheel is the Renault Clio. It is such a good-looking little car.
Brilliant.
Just from the photos we've seen, it is such a stunner. I think they're really going to slap around the Japanese and Korean car makers with this thing, because the pricing's, I think, a little bit more than some of them, but not much.
It is, but generally, people, certainly in Australia, are prepared to pay a slight premium on something European. It's just one of those things. We've seen it for years, that whether it be just the status attached to a European car, or the fact that the styling is just a little bit cheekier, a little bit different, people will be quite... I'm confident to say it's such a good car. If you ignore the way it looks, it's a great car under the skin, and I'm confident people will be happy to pay a little bit extra for that, to have that car.
I think so too, and it's really interesting with that company, because they've had a lot of years of mediocrity as far as I'm concerned. I think early noughties and that kind of thing, it's been really kind of like, they tried a few really interesting things. That Megane with the bum I thought was terrific and really iconic.
Did you?
I loved it, because there's nothing else like it.
Oh, look, I have to hand that, it was unique. There's nothing else it looked like, but that doesn't necessarily mean... Look, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
And if you want to like a car that's got a great fat ass on it, then that's absolutely fine.
Dan,
it didn't do it for me, but I wholeheartedly support breaking the style mold.
That's what I'm really interested in. And look, I am an ass man anyway. So,
the Megane's the one for you.
It was. And look, so they've been kind of dull, and they're just really getting their mojo back. And I'm really... I love seeing a car company that's kind of been a little bit, living through the doldrums or whatever, and kind of rising like a phoenix. And I think that's Renault at the moment. So,
yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, very exciting. I agree.
They can build a cracking car.
Totally. Which, especially the Renault Sport models. It's just bonkers. So good luck to them. The other thing that came out this week that I had a chance to drive through the lovely McLaren Vale area, Audi have released a couple of more variants of their A3. Nothing too exciting there. It's a great car. It's a terrific small car, premium small car. They've got one that's a quattro, so their four-wheel drive version of the 1.8. Fantastic little warm hatch, I'd call it.
Yes.
They've also got this thing, it's called the 1.4 TFSI with cylinder-on-demand technology, which is basically cylinder deactivation. So you're cutting fuel use when you're just coasting and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's nearly it's $2,500 or maybe $2,700 premium over the normal model. And that's all you really get apart from a slight boost in power. So I don't know why they've done that.
$2,500
Yep.
For a system that, as far as I can tell, just incorporates some clever electronics to knock out a couple of the cylinders when you're driving along.
Pretty much.
Right, so we're not talking... Forgive me if there's anyone out there listening who can tell me, but as far as I know, my grasp of this technology is there's nothing really mechanical going on. It is simply an engine program that says when you're doing under these driving conditions, two cylinders won't fire. Simple as that, pretty much. It also encompasses some of the valve technology, which stops the valves opening, so you actually effectively completely remove the cylinders from the engine. Other than that, I don't understand how they're justifying charging $2,500 for that.
Well... Neither do I.
What are the gains, though? Let's look at that.
Well, it's 4.7 litres per 100 kilometres on the combined cycle fuel. And I think the non-cylinder-on-demand version is 5 litres. So it's 0.3 litres you're saving.
Wow. Now,
who do you know can achieve those numbers in real-world driving?
Well, exactly. That's the first
thing. Do you know what I mean?
But even if you could, so you're saving 300 millilitres of fuel every 100 kilometres.
Yeah.
And you're having to pay $2,500 for the privilege.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bit strange.
I'm not going to say anything more than that.
No. Look, at the end of the day, it's a terrific little car.
Yes.
Quite frankly, I think that technology should just be on every car.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
You've got some of the real big players there. Like, I mean, the Chrysler 300 SRT8.
Yeah.
That's got it.
I think some of the HSVs have got it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's far more relevant on an engine that is hulking like that. This is what made me laugh about the Chrysler is you say, you're driving along and you cut out half of the engine. You go, my God, I cut out half the engine. It's still a 3.2 litre.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's a massive engine. So anyway, on those sort of cars, it's far more relevant. You've greater gains to be had.
But a four-cylinder.
Come on, that's already really efficient.
Yep. No. Very strange, but great little car. So
good absolutely. For you, Audi. They call it the sport back, don't they? Is that what
they do? Because it's kind of it's a hatch, but it's like I think more so in the previous generation, it looked almost like a wagon, like an Avant.
Yeah.
So they had their wanky, you know, that's their wanky name for a bigger hatch.
That's right. Okay.
Audiwank.
Yeah. Okay.
.com.au.
Great little car.
Fantastic little car. We have got lots more coming up on, what are we? Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
You need me to stand in with any of the names or anything?
Thank you. This is Tim and Dan. Stick around.
This is Fender Bender. You're listening to Tim and Dan on Joy 94.9. But sorry for a moment. Tim's actually slightly distracted. He's incapacitated for the moment. Tim, sorry. I had to bring that one back because you were so distracted by something going on over there. What's that all about?
On my phone?
Yes.
I'm looking at my phone because my team are playing today. The Geelong Cats.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, the Geelong Cats.
And was it that little, that last advert we played that distracted you? It was a little reminder, wasn't it?
It was a little reminder, yes. Clearly, the Pink Magpies is a fantastic group. I support that 100%. Obviously, I do not support the Magpies.
Okay.
You see that cats eat birds.
Oh, I see what you did
what
there.
I did there.
It's like rock, scissors, stone.
I know.
No, hang on. Paper, scissors, stone. I can't even get the game. The name of a childish game, right? What else am I going to fail at today?
Sick. this is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. This is Joy's very own motoring show. We're happy to have your company. It is election day, guys. We've all, well, we haven't all voted. You and I have voted, Dan. There's a lot of people here at Joy who've already voted. It's very exciting. There is a real electricity in the air today.
Absolutely. Couldn't have put it better myself. Yes, and when people were walking in earlier, you know, everyone was asking questions. Did you vote below the line? You know, how did you find it? Who was in your electorate?
Yeah.
What candidates did you have? It is exciting.
It is very exciting. And look, we'd love to hear from you as well. It's quite interesting because obviously the outcome of this election will have an impact on the Australian automotive industry. We've seen obviously the Labor government bring in change the fringe benefit tax laws, and that's having an impact already on sales, according to some people in car companies. And then the coalition have said that they're not going to support or put as much money into Australian automotive manufacturing as Labor has. So either way, it's going to be a very interesting few years for our industry, and hopefully it can survive. So
absolutely, yes. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see how it all unfolds because, of course, as we know, what they say they're going to do prior to election and what they actually end up doing afterwards
often
two completely different things.
A lot of promises. It's like going out and meeting someone at a bar. You know, you get all these promises and you get home.
Except the result isn't anywhere near as much fun.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, we also decided it'd be a bit funny to kind of work out if car companies were political parties, what party would they be?
Right.
Yeah, okay. See where I'm going here?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Do you know what? I'll tell you something. Holden and Ford, who do you think they are?
Labour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Australian battlers,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, doing
everything
they can to survive, you know, trying to keep jobs in the... Yeah, okay, this is all getting probably a little bit political.
Who do you think the Liberal Party, if the Liberal Party was a car company, who do you think that would be?
Oh, tricky one. Someone a little bit... I can't comment on this without being political, Tim.
That's true.
I could pick a car company that I don't like very much.
Well, I was going to suggest Rolls-Royce or Bentley.
Oh, I see, a little bit highbrow, a little bit... Yeah,
very,
absolutely.
You know,
okay.
Conservative,
could
kind
be.
Of
could
old
be.
School brands.
Yes, a little bit maybe
Stucky.
Stuck in their way. Oh, no, we got... This is all too controversial.
It probably is, isn't it? Because, okay. I mean, who would you pick for the Greens? What car,
right,
what car
well,
company?
I mean, come on, that's probably a little bit more straightforward, isn't
it? Yeah.
Could we talk about maybe, let's say, Smart?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
not too above themselves.
Yep,
doing the right thing for the planet, hopefully, but still a little bit cool. Yeah,
that's true. What about Sex Party?
Oh no!
Well, there's no car company that would match the Sex Party, I would imagine. I can't think of any.
Well, let's think about this. Okay, let's think about
Aston
the values. well, you're not far off, I don't think.
Yeah.
But no. Aston Martin's not right because that's a little bit too. Too vain.
Yeah, that's
true.
And
I don't think sexy is entirely all about vanity.
Yep.
So sexy, but doesn't really know it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I would say we're looking at someone Italian. I would say probably...
Yep.
Like, I'm going to say Fiat.
Okay.
I'm going to say Fiat.
Okay, I support that.
Cute and sexy, but not too consumed by their own ego.
Yeah.
Like Alfa Romeo.
That's, yeah. Oh, controversial. This is...
Look, this was your idea.
That's true. Family first.
Oh, God.
Now I think we're crossing a line because
Land Rover. Don't know why I said that. It was the first thing that sprung to mind.
We could go on. I mean, I voted below the line. There are some parties there I had no idea existed. So
I voted below the line. I didn't realize that I would have to set aside 5 hours to vote below the line.
We're not getting that time back.
But I'm pleased I did.
Same, very much so. Excuse me. Now, we'd also love to know what car gets your vote. We want to know, dear listener, what is your favourite car of all time and why? Do you drive that car? Are you lucky enough to be driving your dream car?
No.
Yeah, I know. Well, some people do. Some people have got what they want.
I was in having dinner the other evening. Remember we had that lovely balmy evening?
Yes.
It was like 26 degrees or something, still about 8 at night. Hmm. And I had dinner on Beach Road in a location I'm not prepared to specify because of slightly incriminating information.
Okay.
And a gentleman pulled up in a Ferrari Daytona.
What's a Ferrari? Hang on, is that an older?
Yeah, it's that beautiful convertible, very American sort of looking, long nose, front engine, rear wheel drive, short cut off back.
Ooh.
60s. And I absolutely, because these cars are like, talking millions. They are so rare now and so desirable. And so I couldn't resist. I left my dining table and I went over and I spoke to him. I said, "Is that a Daytona?" And he said, "I'm afraid it's not." And it was a copy. But, you know Miami Vice? They had a selection of Ferraris in Miami Vice and a Lamborghini, I think. This was one of the cars in that. And it's the same car that featured in Miami Vice.
Really?
Yeah. So that wasn't a real one. Yeah, I believe it's
in
that
Miami
one.
Vice.
Yeah, yeah. It's a left-hand drive. So I believe that it's still worth a fantastic amount of money because it's one of the few cars that have actually resulted in a lawsuit against the kit car manufacturer. Ferrari took them to court because they said it's too good. It looks too much like the car.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, and that set a precedent. So now it's much harder to build a kit car that looks very like the original because of that one model.
Rightio.
Yeah.
Controversial.
So this guy could be driving his dream car. I mean, it absolutely looked the part.
Yeah.
If I hadn't asked, I probably wouldn't have picked that it wasn't the real thing.
Well, you know the other one. I think it was you and I that discovered this the other day. The white car from Miami Vice.
Yes.
Is a Ferrari Testarossa. Yeah.
Yes.
Gee, that was a terrific...
Amazing.
I don't know if they were very good. I don't think they were a great Ferrari in the scheme of Ferraris. From my understanding, it wasn't a terrific car. But just that kind of... It was like late 80s, early 90s, or was it just late 80s? Yeah.
It was 80s.
Yeah. Just that kind of quite striking design.
I loved that whole shape. Well, I mean, my...
Of course it was white on Miami Vice.
Yeah. And I love that. I love the whole notion of, obviously, if I had a Ferrari, I'd probably be very hard to...
it would be hard.
I'd probably just be very hard. Yeah. No, sorry. It would be hard to not get a red Ferrari. But I do love it when Ferraris are in other colours.
Yeah.
And speaking of 80s, my all-time favourite car is the Ferrari F40. And that was born in the 80s, yeah.
You go. That's your number one pick.
That absolutely is, in my opinion.
That does make sense because you do like Italian things.
I do like Italian cars. And when it comes down to it, if you want to talk about this now, I'm happy to.
Please.
For me, the purpose of a car is the reason people invented cars is because they needed to get somewhere quicker than walking.
Yes.
Right? That, for me, is still the reason a car exists. So the faster you can get somewhere, that is only enhancing the whole core purpose of a car. Safety doesn't matter. Noise, comfort doesn't matter. The whole reason the car was invented because it was to save time. And the Ferrari F40 will get you where you want to go pretty much quicker than anything else.
Oh, wowza. There you go. Well, I must say I would not have picked that.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't know
why.
There you go. Learn it all about us. Do. All the personal details on Fender Bender.
You've got a real soft spot for Italian cars, though.
I do. That's no secret.
Yeah. Well, look, mine is Italian as well, and it's a bit outrageous, a bit leery. Yeah. Similar kind of era, Lamborghini Countach.
Oh, well, there you go. But similar sort of principles. That outrageous, striking 80s design.
Absolutely.
Do you know that car will actually drive on water?
What?
Did you know that?
It's a Bond movie.
I kid you not. No. But it's a design trait that car was accidentally made buoyant. You can actually drive... No, seriously. You can actually, if you've got enough money to risk driving your Countach onto a lake, you can actually do it. It will float.
How very bizarre.
I would urge you to go onto some kind of video sharing website and try and find, because I'm sure someone's done it and there's video evidence of it. But yes, I believe I'm right in saying the Lamborghini Countach will actually float.
How bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You do learn things. I know that the Lotus Esprit from the 80s went underwater in a James Bond movie.
Oh,
and you and I have both talked about our love of that design.
Oh, it is just...
it's like a wedge.
Still...
I know, I want to touch it all over. But we would love to hear from you at home. The text number is 0427JOY949 and email onair@joy.org.au. What is your favourite car of all time? What are you voting for as your all-time fantasy favourite car?
Yes, what car would you have run the country?
Exactly, exactly.
And what colour would it be? No, we're not going to get political.
Oh, you can say colour if you want. This is Tim and Dan on Fender Bender, and it's Joy 94.9. You are here with Tim and Dan on Election Day, or as Brad texted in earlier and said, Australia, no, you got it wrong. It's Erection Day, not an Election Day, because no matter what happens, we're going to be rooted. Thank you, Brad. That's terrific.
Perfect.
And, yeah, well done. Well, that's what I'll tell you what you do. If you don't like what you think the outcome of today is going to be, go to Germany.
Oh, I see what you did there.
That
was
a terrible segue.
Yeah. Good advice. Good advice.
Yeah.
If you don't like it here, then you can always try another country.
Well, a lot of people are doing that.
Well, I did.
You did, didn't you?
Didn't like England very much. Decided to come here instead. Exactly. It's much better.
And we welcome you with open arms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Start the boat, I say. Yeah. Start the boat.
Very good.
Before I get too political. Now, as I mentioned earlier, a very big week in motoring for people like us in the industry.
Yes.
And for, you know, motoring fanatics out there, the big Frankfurt Motor Show, or as we like to call it, Frangers.
Yes. Yeah, that's not Frankston Motor Show. I should imagine the Frankston Motor Show would be
amazing.
Probably a bit of an eye-opener, I would say.
It would have been an eye-opener, a leg-opener? quite a few openers down at Frankston.
Yeah.
But Frankston's lovely, of course. But we are, of course, talking about Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Heaps coming up. We've already seen quite a lot. It's now getting to the point of ridiculous how when the actual show... comes around, there's not really much to see because everyone's fighting to reveal their, you know, big sexy concept the week or 2 weeks before the show, so they don't get lost in the mire when the show comes along. So
I'm not sure how I feel about that because,
yeah,
you know, it's actually funny. We're talking about the election and how big a role social media played in the election. It works almost exactly the same way in the motor industry when revealing new models and new products because, like you say, the majority of the reveals are happening on social media. And if not, then very soon after on websites.
Yep.
You know, shots we already talked about, spy shots being leaked. Sometimes it's obviously a genuine spy, and sometimes, you know, they say, oh, someone leaked this shot. Yes, well, it was them, obviously, wasn't it? You know, this whole generation of hype around a new model somehow, I feel, takes away some of the charm of a motor show.
Yep, I totally agree. And I think that they're going to kind of regret that. Oh, I think car companies are going to kind of screw themselves over, for want of a better term, because we'll get to the actual motor show, the media days, and we will have seen everything. And they're doing this in advance to try and get a bit of traction beforehand.
Yeah.
But then there's nothing on the day.
Well, that's it. I mean, are we looking at the very start of an entirely virtual motor show where everything is revealed online and there's actually really no point in having a physical show to go to at all?
That would be very sad.
Well, it would, but, I mean, these are the... You know, people don't go to shops anymore, do they? Because unless you're buying clothes and everyone knows that you go and find the right size in a shop and then you go and buy it online.
Immediately. Yeah.
So,
no.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the start of that. It is sad. It is sad. I personally, because I'm an old bastard, I like going and seeing the thing in the metal because it seems all the more real to me. But I'm not... the current generation. I'm not the cool generation at the moment. They are the generation who's going to dictate what happens next.
Well,
and if enough people say, I would far rather get a picture of a new Porsche through Facebook, then that's what will happen.
But it's not the same. It's just not the same. You go to the motor show, and as you say, you can see it there. You can touch it. You can sit in these things. You can't get that online.
Yeah.
And you know what? You get a beautiful picture that a very cashed up motor car company has paid an obscene amount of money to get the perfect looking picture. That's not what the car looks like.
Yeah, we
know this. Like you see a picture, and you're like, oh. And then you see it in the flesh. It's like, oh, okay.
Sometimes it can go entirely different way. Like you can see a car in a press release photo, and you think that's fantastic. And when you see it in the flesh, so to speak, it just doesn't have anywhere near the same presence. And it works completely the other way around
as well.
You can look at a pretty normal looking shot of a car. And when you actually see it, it just seems to work so much more when you're standing next to it.
Which I believe is what's going to happen with the new Jeep Cherokee. I have it on good authority.
You think so? Because we, if Mike was here, he'd be going on about how he loves the look of the new Cherokee.
Yeah.
And you and I would say, no, we hate it.
No, but I've had a bit of a word, an inside word, to people who have seen it in the flesh, and they say that it looks absolutely striking in the flesh, and the photos that were released whenever it was six months ago just do not do it justice.
Well, so, that's good to hear, because I was a bit worried that they lost their way a little bit there.
Well, that's the thing. But, I mean, look, something as big as Frankfurt, for example, they put so much money in it. I mean, you look at Audi, for example, they're going to have this stand that you walk into the Audi stand at Frankfurt, and it's going to have, like, if you look up, it'll be a city, an upside down city above you.
Wow.
And it's done through LED lights, through mirrors, through all this technology. They've spent an obscene amount of money. It's taken them five weeks to install it.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how exciting would that be?
Yeah. So, the occasion. The sense of occasion. It's absolutely essential.
So, and look, we still have, there's been a few things come out in the last week since we were here at this desk last week.
Yeah.
A few reveals that we can talk about now. One that I believe you are quite familiar with. The little Smart?
Smart 4 Joy, it's called, yeah.
Smart 4 Joy?
Yes, it's built entirely for this radio station.
Terrific.
Smart have released some concepts in the past, and they're always quite interesting. They always revolve around the same sort of naming system. There was the 4 Speed, and there was the 4 Skin as well they did. No, they didn't. No. Anyway, the latest one is the Smart 4 Joy, and it is actually quite a wicked-looking thing. What they've done is they have done away with a rear window, a roof and doors, so it's almost very Mini Moke-esque. It's a town car built for 4 people, hence the name, 4 very happy people by the sound of it. It's all electric, plug-in, and it also has, this is a particularly nice feature I like, it's a really well-styled car. It looks quite good. You know, sometimes you look at these concept cars and you just go, yeah, whatever, it's all just a bit of, you know, go on about these materials that don't exist yet. But this is beautiful. It's got polished aluminium, it's got these lovely pearlescent white panels. Clever use of textures, not necessarily striking colours. But the absolute icing on the cake for me is they actually say that if you run out of battery power, you can do the last kilometre on the 2 electric skateboards that are mounted on the roof.
Pardon?
I honestly, this is what... There's pictures are there. In the boot, there is a special custom-made tailored holder for 2 skateboard helmets. And on the roof are 2 electrically powered skateboard longboards.
That might be the best thing I've ever heard.
I know, isn't it wonderful? But there's only 2. And so there's 4 passengers, 2 skateboards, someone's walking. Either way, it's a wicked thing. Now, anyway, this is actually tipped to be the way the new 4-4 will look. We've had the Smart 4-4 before, which is their 4-door, 4-seater hatch.
I think they ditched here.
Yes, they did. Yeah. They did. It was a pretty good car. It just wasn't particularly well received here. So this 4 Joy is apparently heralding the next 4-4.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, and if it looks anything like the concept, then it'll be a fantastic car.
Because there's another 4-2 coming, the tiny little thing will be coming at some point soon too.
That's
so
right.
It's funny, because I think there was a bit of a, what's Smart going to do? How are they going to work in this country or globally? And they seem to kind of...
They tick
they're
over.
Here for the long haul, aren't they? They're not going anywhere, so...
They're not going to do an Opel on us.
Oh, God. Anyway, let's not go there. I'm still sad about that.
I know.
We have got to have a few messages now, but we'll be back very shortly. If you want to stay in touch, 0427 joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you.
Someone has done exactly that. Chris has texted in saying we were talking about our favourite ultimate cars earlier, and Chris has said my favourite car ever, in capitals, which must mean that it really is his favourite car ever, is the Fiat X19, the Bertone style cabriolet babies from the late 1970s. They weren't very practical and they weren't very good, but I just love them and then and now. And he's absolutely right.
They were
as a styling exercise and fun to drive. The X19 was a mid-engine. It had a little 1.9-litre four-cylinder behind your seats, two-seater. Looked amazing. Had bags of that 70s, 80s Italian car styling. As you said, Bertone designed it, which was, it's always going to be fantastic.
Amazing.
I'm totally on Chris's side with that one.
I agree.
All-time classic car. Wonderful.
Yeah, I think I'd put it in my top 10 best designs of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was obsessed with them as a kid. Obsessed. And there was a green one in Hamilton where I grew up. Like Kermit Green.
Yes.
Obsessed. So
my first car was Kermit Green.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, it was Java Green was the exact color.
Don't say
anyway, enough about
anyway,
me.
Anyway, exactly. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. And do text in, again, if you want to we want to hear from you. What's your vote for your favourite car of all time? 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. joy.com.au. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim and Dan here with you on Election Day in Australia, filled with excitement.
It is, as you say, electric was the word you used earlier, and it is absolutely that.
I wonder if you're not going to sit at home and watch the coverage tonight?
I would if I didn't have a party to go to in the middle of nowhere.
I see.
Will be favouring. But I'm hoping there's going to be some kind of coverage on at the party so that I can do both, have a few refreshments and also follow how things are going.
Exactly. That's how you'd want to play it. I don't think I'd want to stay at home necessarily and watch it.
Yeah.
But I do want to know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, that's the beauty of a smartphone, I guess. You got all the your Twitter and all of that kind of thing, the social media and all the like. Now, this is Fender Bender. It's a show all about motoring, and we have been talking about motor shows, one in particular, Frankfurt. Now, I don't think we've even... we started talking about, of course, what we're going to see. We've seen the Smart for Joy. Now, another thing, Citroen Cactus.
Tell me that's not a real name.
It's a real name.
Citroen are calling their concept the Cactus.
Yep, following on from the Sea Cactus back in 2007.
What? I didn't even know about that one either. Yeah. Hang on, sea as in like aquatic, as in...
No, C for Charlie.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Letter C, Cactus.
Okay.
This is just Cactus. They've dropped the C.
Do they not know what that means in Australia?
Cactus.
You know, the Citroen... my Citroen's gone Cactus.
I didn't even think about that.
Doesn't sound like a good
start. That's hilarious.
You know, the PRs, and when they come up with a name, they usually really do a little ask around the world.
I know.
Say, Aussies over there, by the way, we're thinking about the name Cactus.
Yeah.
Any ideas? And when the panel falls around laughing, they could probably rethink of the name.
Well, you've got to be careful. There was also, you know, the Mitsubishi arsehat all those years ago, I think. It's not true, of course. But no, you're right. You've got to be careful. Just do a Google search, guys. Just do a Google search of
what
countries.
Okay, what is the Cactus?
The Cactus is a small little concept. It's a bit strange. It's actually not... You think a concept car, you go, oh, it's very, you know, usually they're very sexy, often quite sporty, a little bit edgy. This one's quite round and bubble shaped.
Yeah.
There's nothing really interesting about it, apart from it's got this hybrid air engine, which is compressed air combined with just a little turbocharged engine. So you're driving on air sometimes.
Interesting technology. Now, this is taking a step further than... So we've got regenerative braking.
Yep.
I said it right the first time and then...
You did.
The second time. I never get that word right. In electric cars. But what the compressed air technology is doing is effectively capturing energy from when you're in overrun and braking in a different way. And it works... The principle is identical to capturing and storing electrical energy in electric cars. So it makes this car very efficient, I would assume. They haven't got any figures yet, have we?
Well, yes, 2.9 litres per 100 kilometres.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, so there we go.
That's brilliant. And, like, the technology's there. Like, there's no reason why this can't be in a production vehicle anytime soon. And PSA, which is Peugeot Citroën's, you know, parent company or whatever, they're really on top of a lot of these kind of technologies. So it's got that. It's got these weird things on the side of the car that are made from some kind of weird material so you don't scratch the car.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's a bit wanky. And look, it's...
Is that like people who leave the plastic on their couches? I'm sorry.
A little bit.
If you're worried about a car getting scratched, then perhaps don't buy a car because they're going to get scratched.
I know.
And all you have to do is just repair them when they do. Don't coat them in stuff. Just, you know, it's like people who get a brand new kitchen installed and then don't use it because it's like, well, then it won't be new anymore.
Yeah, it's very
seriously
strange. But look, I think they're doing this is going to eventually turn into some kind of production car. Their C line of models, so the C3, C4, C5, going down market.
Oh, really?
Future generations, that's going to be their very entry-level models.
Yeah.
And the DS, their DS line, will be their premium offering. So this is basically the first of we're seeing of their C-line models, which I think is really exciting. Very odd direction for them to be going in as a European offering to no longer be premium.
Speaking of Citroën.
Please.
I'm actually in one at the moment. I'm in a DS3 convertible, which is actually very nice. That's not why I mentioned it. That's just another valid point. Daniel, a gentleman with a fantastic name, has messaged us saying, my favourite car ever is the Citroën CX. So another Citroën fan there. The CX actually was, it was a cracking looking car. Broke a few sort of moulds in the design. It's
What era was this?
The 1760... No, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. We can do a little search in the next break and we'll maybe put up a pic on some kind of social media.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it sounds like we have some Citroën fans out there as well. And if they carry on this design trend, then they're going to keep... I think that's one of the things that Citroën has always done well and is loyal following. So, you know, like the Citroen Palace and the Princess, all equally wonderful looking cars, but revolutionary. And the 2CV as well, you know, all these unusual design traits that people just fell about themselves to get. So, yeah.
This is funny. Our listeners are very, very onto it today because they're reminding me of things that I was obsessed with as a child and still to this day think are some of the best designs in the world. Citroen CX, I did have to look up because I'm a bit useless with names of things. That is one of my favourite designs of all time.
There we go.
The Citroens of the 50s, 60s, whatever, obviously they're incredible.
Yeah.
But that kind of 80s, 70s, 80s design, just touch me all over with it. I just think that is stunning. If they weren't useless, I would look at buying one. I don't know. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're quite reliable. I might have just been judging.
Never understood the 2CV thing. You know, people go on about how it is a cult classic. People really, really are incredibly passionate about the 2CV or the Dolly or whatever you want to call it. Never got it. I thought it was one of the most laughably stupid looking cars I've ever seen. And it had like a twin cylinder engine and the handbrake operated the front wheels. And it was all wrong. I'm sorry. It was all wrong.
Wow. Listen to you, eh?
I know.
You are a hater.
It's all or nothing with me, isn't it? I love it to death or I would just want to spit on it.
It's true. It's true. A couple of other things where we've already seen. Audi have released a Sport Quattro. What just happened?
This is one of the best looking cars anyone has produced this century.
Are you kidding?
No, maybe century is a strong word, but I absolutely think this is one of the coolest looking cars I've seen in a very,
really?
Very long time.
I would say it's just okay.
No, Tim, you're wrong.
You're a little witch.
No, okay, so it's fine. This just appeals to me entirely. I love coupes. I love big, muscular looking coupes.
Oh,
sorry, there's parallels drawing here all the time. It is fabulously powerful. I forget exactly off the top of my head what's going to be powering it, but it's going to be one of the most powerful Audis ever made. No confirmed production yet, but looking at it, that looks like a fairly polished design.
Yeah.
It also, if you happen to look at this picture in profile, the roof line and rear window is exactly the same as the original Audi Quattro.
Okay.
And so this car is obviously celebrating their culture and their heritage in the Audi Quattro. They're pushing the Quattro brand very heavily in Australia at the moment. The marketing campaign's out there saying Quattro is the car for Australia because it copes with the terrain.
And you might have seen there's been billboards up that are just like tyre tracks
in the
mud or something. And I was kind of like, what the hell's going on here?
Clever,
but it's a global campaign.
But the Quattro concept is just, I think, the most stunning looking thing we've seen in a long time. And if you look at it, let's just take a glance at its back end for a moment. It looks just like the Aston Martin. It looks like an Aston Martin Vantage, V12 Vantage.
Yes, it does.
It's not an ugly car in itself.
No, I think that looks better than the back of an Aston Martin, to be honest.
I think this is just fantastic. I wholeheartedly encourage you to put a picture of this up on our Facebook page afterwards.
I will do that.
Because people need to see this. I think it's one of the most exciting styled cars in a long time.
Little sexy.
It really is.
Going from sexy to something else that's going to be shown at the Frankfurt show. Lexus have released pictures of their little SUV. They're going to finally have a compact SUV, and this thing looks like a cross between a spaceship and an angry robot.
I've got a better way of describing it, perhaps.
Please.
Have you ever seen the series Red Dwarf?
Yes.
Crichton. It looks like the robot Crichton out of it. It looks like it has been sort of designed nicely, and then someone has taken a plane to it and angled everything off and put in some unnecessary creases, and it's just
silly.
It is just silly.
Look at that gaping hole.
Oh dear. Oh, hang on. Have you just changed the website?
the grill. I mean, look.
No, this does not do it for me at all.
And you know what? This is it will go into production, but this is a heavily conceptized version of it, isn't it? I mean, they've made it a lot chunkier than it's going to be. We'll see this very soon, but it'll be a watered down version of it.
Good.
And I'm okay with that.
Yes.
Different to the LFCC concept that became the IS, that concept was stunning.
Yeah.
The IS is like, oh, yeah, it's a good looking car. This could possibly go the other way.
This will make this car, if they allowed it to on the road looking like that, would make babies cry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like some politicians when they
This is the election special on Fender Bender.
I know.
Yeah, so from one really good looking car to one that really makes me want to run away.
Well, you know what? We'll have the wonderful Mike back next week to discuss what it looks like in the flesh.
Mm.
Yeah, so we will have here his judgment for you next week. Now, Dan, we've come to the end of the show.
I don't believe it for a minute.
Well, it's true.
I can't. No. Just no, I'm just going to sit here.
Well, you can stay here.
I am. I'm just going to sit here.
Well,
and
Hannah's
talk.
On for Little Fish, and she might kick you out.
Oh, she will actually. She can get a bit stern with me.
It's true. It's true.
She needs to put me in my place occasionally.
Thank you for everyone for texting in. Big thanks, of course, to Heath and Anthony on the phones. We'll be back next week with more of this, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Find us on Twitter and the FaceSpace. Thank you, Dan.
Oh, absolute pleasure, Tim. Thanks for having me.
My name's Tim Nicholson. Signing off for another week for Fender Bender. Safe draw. Driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.